This is the Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Good evening. Yeah, it is. Which is a bit weird if you listen regularly, because you're probably expecting a rather attractive woman with a Taiwanese bloodline and a beautiful accent, but you've got a middle-aged, mildly fat British man with a mouth like a sewer. Although for the next 2 hours, I shall do my best to be eloquent, well-spoken, and not drop any F-bombs. Never have yet, which I have to say is quite impressive, because in my normal life, trucker. I said trucker. So why am I here? Well, pays not. That's simple as that, really. I think she's in Halifax visiting her family, according to Facebook, which is the fountain of all definite fact. Actually, she got a bit upset with me on Facebook because I this week didn't know what to do in this hour. And I thought, there's no way anyone wants to hear me bang on for 2 hours. So I shall get some guests. And in the fantastic, accurate journalism method technique I used as well, I basically put on Facebook, does anyone want to come on the radio? Because I don't know what to talk about. And the first response was from Pei Chen saying, well, thank you so much for taking my show seriously. So, yeah. It worked, though. I've got some really good guests. I didn't know that I knew so many interesting people. People came out of the woodwork to help. And I think that we're going to have quite a good radio show for the next 2 hours. It's like a proper show. 2 hours. Think they're paying me extra? I haven't even asked about that. Well, pay can't charge. Maybe I'll get double. That's $4. So if you're interested in what's coming up, if you're still here, I hope you are, then this is it. It's great. And I genuinely mean that. It's going to be a good show. We're going to talk to Serafina De Felice, and I may have messed her name up, but we'll confirm that as we go. She is the program manager at Hot Docs. So I look forward to talking to her, because Hot Docs has just started. And Elliot, the producer, is the biggest documentary dweeb ever. I was casually asked if he'd been to any. I think he's seen everything. And I have how many have you seen? About five?
I've actually seen seven.
Seven?
So far.
And it only started when?
Thursday.
It's impressive.
Yeah, I take it seriously.
Yeah. Well, having discussed it with you, it does sound fascinating. And there's so much stuff. So if you're a bit bored this week and you're enjoying the lack of spring! Yeah! You noticed that? Sorry, I'm absolutely uncontrollable now. And I went away for ages. Fed up with it. Come on. But if you're enjoying the lack of spring and thinking, wouldn't it be nice to get out of the cold? Or what you're probably thinking is, why the hell do I live in this country? I know, I've been thinking it. And some of you would be very glad to see the back of me. No, if you're thinking that you need some entertainment, then I recommend the Hot Docs Festival, which we'll talk about in detail later. We're also going to talk to Mike Dodd. He's our resident, I think it's reasonable to call him a resident geek. He tells us all about the world of geekdom. Because I don't know what I am, but I don't think I'm a geek. I'm not cool. There's no question of that. I'm not down with the kids. I look awkward in a nightclub. We'll talk about that later as well. And I'm just, I have the fashion sense of someone that's, I would say at least partially blind. But I'm certainly not a geek. So we're going to get him in to talk about geekdom. He's the same guy, actually, that we had in some months ago that talked about his love for My Little Pony. Without irony, a fully grown man, rather a large man, if I may be so bold. And was he, 30-odd?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, about 30, and loves My Little Pony, which is absolutely perfectly normal. And we're also going to talk to a guy called Pablo Coffey. And I'm really interested in talking to him. We're going to do a little bit of serious stuff later. We're going to be talking about loneliness. And we're going to focus on why we are, if I may be so bold to presume, quite lonely. Now, maybe you're not, but there are millions of studies to suggest that we are more lonely than ever before, particularly here in the West, where we live in big glass towers and don't talk to each other, and are only really seem to talk to each other through our car windows with expletives. I don't know what the mood is in Toronto today, but everyone's shouting at each other. Guy walked in front of a car and was called I can't say it, actually, but very offensive thing, just outside the studio as I was coming. Although they might have been talking to me. You know, fair enough. So we're going to talk about loneliness and aggression and what we can do to combat it. I mean, it might be very obvious to some, but actually it really isn't to many others. So I'd like to talk to a man that has a very interesting story. He's had some significant health battles through his life, and he'll be talking to us about how we can shoot for the right things, all right? How we can really understand what we should be doing with our lives and what's important, and how we can perhaps be less lonely. So that should be really helpful, bit of lifestyle stuff. And then we have, in case you're still, your life is falling apart, we have a relationship advisor who's got some cracking stories about terrible internet dates. I mean, I think we all have, but she's got some absolute peaches. So we'll talk to her later. So, you know, I've really minimised the amount of work that I have to put into this show, which is great, because I'm incredibly drunk. No, I'm not. I've got a cup of hot water. That's how rock and roll I am. I had a pint at lunch, but I think that's acceptable on a Sunday. So there you go. That's that. Now, I should probably say who I am. I'm Vinnie White. I'm in for Pay Chen here till 10. That's, I think, all you need, apart from the phone numbers. 416-872-1010. Chip in at any point. If you've got a question for any one of the people that I've just mentioned, and it's I'm not asking it, then you should. So if ever you want to call this show, 416-872-1010. You can also phone 877-518-5151, or you can do something with StarTalk 8255. Phone it, I suppose. And you can also text us, which is brilliant because there's a big screen next to me, so anything that you text comes in and I can read it out if I like it, which is about 90% of the texts. So you can text us on 71010. And then there's Facebook. Are you still here? It's so boring, this bit, isn't it? I always find it boring. It just gets such a long list. By the time I get to Facebook and Twitter, I'm bored. So God knows how you feel. Yeah, the Facebook is all very clever. It's Vinnie White is the name, V-I-N-N-E-Y, White. And then, of course, Twitter, if you're that way inclined. But we're going to talk about that later as well. Just the... Is social media making us more lonely? That's what I want to know. First text in, I like your accent. I think that's nice, isn't it? I mean, you'd think that you were quite used to it now, but I suppose this is not my show. Thank you very much. And yeah, that took me by surprise. Apparently there's traffic. And what urgency it was done with. My goodness, I had no idea anyone was moving anywhere. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk to Serafina de Felice. Oh, now I'm going to try and get her name right, and talk about the ongoing hot docs and see what might be of interest to you. You're listening to News Talk 1010.
You're tuned in to The Vinnie White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Right, yeah, I'm here. I don't usually appear at this time, but it's an extra special gift as Pei Chen is in Halifax with her mum, looking after her, and hopefully having a good time. 8:19 is your time, live from Toronto. My name's Vinnie White, and I think it's time to work out what's going on in this city. There are, of course... There is a ridiculously ongoing winter, which refuses to budge. I did get T-shirt-y for a moment today, but my my nipples could cut glass. It was really terrible, actually. You know when you get really hard nipples and it looks like someone's sellotaped a couple of Skittles down your chest? It looked like that. And I suddenly realised that anyone of a female persuasion was running away from me, which I'm quite used to, but it was more so than normal. So hopefully it's going to warm up. But in the meantime, there are events going on inside that will actually be wonderful for everyone. It's the Hot Docs Festival, and I'm joined by Serafina on the line now. Hello, Serafina.
Hi.
Nice to talk to you. I don't want to say your last name because I'm not entirely sure how you pronounce it. How do you say it?
You say De Felice.
Oh, good. I got that right. I feel incredibly clever for once.
You could totally say you got it right because you didn't try.
I did before the call, I promise.
Okay.
So Serafina de Felice is on the line, and she's the programming manager of Hot Docs. Now, for those that are not aware, what is Hot Docs?
Hot Docs, we are a 10-day-long all-documentary film festival that takes place at the end of April and goes through May. So this year, our dates are April 24th to May 4th. I mean, we also run the Bloor Cinema now. We have like 365 days of documentaries that you can come see anytime. But right now we're in the middle of our festival, which is our big flagship event every year.
And what would people be likely to see at this event?
What would you be likely to see?
Mm.
Well, we're doing, we show just about 200 documentaries, and that's like almost 500 independent screenings. So really, you can expect to see just about anything at our festival.
I was talking to Elliot, our man behind the buttons, and he's addicted to documentaries, and he's seen loads. And he was saying, I'll give you a range of some of the things that he's seen. He's seen one on mail order brides, one on uncovering the history behind some African music, particular African music. There's a documentary on living in slums across the world. So an enormous broad range of stuff to be learned.
Yeah. You know, like I said, it's almost 200. We're doing from over 43 countries. So really, there's just like there's something for everyone at our festival. And I mean, like, you know, the best way to maybe go through it, like hotdogs.ca, you can see every single thing we're showing. But, you know, every year, you know, we tend to sort of like find certain themes emerge. And so maybe that's a good place to sort of say, like, what would you see this year? We sort of saw we were getting a lot of documentaries about love. So we have a very cleverly titled theme program, Love Factually.
See what you did. Yeah. I love a bit of wordplay, me.
You didn't seem that impressed. We were all super impressed with ourselves when we came up with it.
Okay.
But that's where, you know, you would have seen that film about mail order brides. You'll also see a film about somebody who's a wedding videographer for the last 10 years, who's gone back and found couples to interview them about what it's been like, you know, through their weddings.
Oh, that must be great as well.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
I should imagine quite some of them were not together anymore.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true. No spoilers, but yes, you know, statistically, they couldn't all be together.
How many years has this Hot Docs been running now?
We're in our 21st right now.
Would I be right in saying that, and maybe it's just because I'm noticing more and I have more of a passion for knowledge now, but is it me or is there more documentaries than ever before?
Is there more documentaries than ever before? I mean, it certainly seems like it. There's certainly more outlets for them, I think, right? Like, you know, when you're, whether you're online, whether you're like part of Netflix, whether, you know, HBO, whether you're CBC, like there's a lot of places to show documentaries. Like I said, we run a 365 day a year doc-only cinema that is constantly filled with content that you can see. So it may just be that it's more in your consciousness, but I feel like, you know, there's a lot of things to identify with. There's always something for everyone, which is why I think there's so many places that they're emerging right now.
Yeah, yeah. So in your pickings, can you recommend anything that's setting your heart on fire at the moment? Anything I should look out for? Because I'm going to go for a couple this weekend. Sorry, this week.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's so many good things. It's hard to pick favorites, right? But like I said, some of the best things to do are go maybe based on theme. Take a look through that. We did another special theme this year based on myth, mystery, and legend. So if you're interested in sort of like unsolvable mysteries that are happening in the world or cool old folklore from other countries, there's a lot of great stuff there. And you should definitely check out our night vision program. Every night we do these sort of like midnight screenings at the Bloor Cinema. And there's a lot of really great sort of like future cult classics. And so those are some of my favorites. I can give you a couple of those. In particular, there's a great one called Art and Craft. That is about this very eccentric, incredibly gifted painter who forges little-known works of art by very famous artists and then donates them. And then the story of how one person lost his job after accepting that and has made it his life's work to stop that guy from donating ever again. It becomes this kind of like crazy cat-and-mouse game
with
these two very eccentric people. Yeah, it's awesome. It's very cool.
Yeah. Some of the documentaries that I've been watching over the last couple of years, you don't necessarily know, and nor does the filmmaker know, what's going to happen. And one of the classic examples that I'm thinking, a really good one, was Catfish. Did you see that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Where the guy set out to make a video that was probably going to be quite harmless about him meeting a woman. And it turned out the woman was masquerading as someone completely different. And it was all about the intensity of BS on social media. And it took him right across the country. As a attempted filmmaker myself, or trying, one of the things that I have to say is, although it's easier than ever before to make a film, i.e. equipment's cheaper, flights aren't, you know, you can get to pretty remote places in the world, batteries last longer and all the technical stuff, it's also, in some ways, I find, isn't it a bit harder? Because at the end of the day, a documentary is not going to be good unless it's really interesting. And sometimes when you go out to make a documentary, surely halfway through you might think, this is really not as being as interesting as I want. You can't plan it like a movie where you have a script and you have a dialogue and you can get your actors and so on and so forth. So I guess my question is it difficult to make a documentary?
You're saying, like, do people often find they get out where they've gone to shoot and think, like, oh, this is actually pretty boring?
Yes.
No,
yes.
I don't think so. I think one of the, you know, like, an awful lot of planning goes into these things. So
yeah.
I think people have a sense of where their film is going to go. And then, you know, one of the best things about documentary, really, is that it's such a diverse medium, right? Like, it doesn't just have to be, say, issue-based or character-driven. It can be artistic and creative and experimental. Mm. You know, so I think you have a really good sense of, like, what it is you're trying to achieve and what's going to happen. And then it just becomes sort of, like, exciting as you find yourself in other places, right, as you get out there.
Yeah.
And you can construct an awful lot of the story, too, right? Like, when you come back and, like, you've realized that you found things that were surprising even to you. So.
Yeah, that's true. Although I have to say, maybe the problem with me is that I've bit off a little bit more than I can chew, because I appreciate that budgets have come down for filmmaking, but you still need a budget. And I did try to do everything myself and also do all the editing myself. And I realised, actually, it's given me an enormous appetite for good documentaries, because I realise now how hard they are to make.
Wait, are you making a documentary?
I'm having a go. I went to Nicaragua a few weeks ago and I've shot loads of film down there and I'm editing it. Do you know a good editor, by the way?
There's a whole bunch in the city. We should totally talk afterwards.
Okay, good. I like that. I'm good.
Yeah.
Can I keep your number in my phone?
Please do. Give me a call back. Like, I'd love to hear more about the film you're making. We have a huge festival. We want those submissions.
Okay. See, this is the benefit of networking. It's just happening right in front of your eyes. Who needs Facebook, for goodness sake?
That's what this interview was all about, wasn't it?
Oh, damn you for catching me out.
I mean, I don't blame you. It's a really fantastic festival, and you definitely want your film in it.
Ah, good. See, bit of cross-promotion, like what you did. You're a pro. Do you like beer as well? That's very important, because I refuse to meet you unless it's in a pub, of course. I'm British.
Well, you can meet us at a pub, but you could also meet us at the cinema that we run, because we have beer there. It's a fully licensed cinema.
Shut up.
No, we are a fantastic organization doing amazing things. You got to come out.
You had me at beer, but I'm absolutely sold. Okay, to wrap up, tell me, Serafina De Felice, if you could just remind people where they might want to go online to check the listings and how they would go about buying tickets and so on.
Yeah, you can get tickets in advance from www.hotdocs.ca. That's also where you're going to find all of the screenings that are going on up until May 4th. Mm. You can also buy tickets in person if you want at the Documentary Box Office, which is 2 Bloor Street West, which is in the Cumberland Terrace, the lower level of the Cumberland Terrace.
Okay, and you took a sort of Fifth Amendment when it came to advising people on what to see. And in retrospect, I don't blame you. I think that what we've learned is that there is an enormous amount, and it really depends on your own interest, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah. There's a lot of great... We're showing a lot of great films over the next few days, so... like I said, something for everybody, and definitely check out the website.
Okay, thank you, Serafina. You're a wonder. You're a gem.
Thanks.
See you later.
Good yourself.
Cheers.
Bye.
I like to put about 20% of flirting into every interview, and I think I may have overcooked it on that one. You're listening to News Talk 1010. My name's Vinny. I'm in for Pei Chen today, so it's not Pei with a heavy cold and a terrible imitation of Austin Powers. But she will be back, I believe, next week in her usual place. So if you'd like to warmly embrace her on her return, I think you should. And do give her a boost of confidence. She's a very good presenter, but sometimes she has to deal with the occasional bum. And it was a few weeks ago, I had to give her a little hug and say, do you know what? You're the best. So I think you should always remind her how great she is, because she's very lovely. There you go. That's good. And she didn't even ask me for money for that. Would she do that for me? Would she, my bum? All right, when we come back, we're going to catch up in the world of geekdom. What does that mean, I hear you say? Well, we're going to talk to our resident geek that's going to tell us what's going on in the geeky world, including Comic-Con and all that stuff. All right, we'll be back in a minute.
You're tuned in to The Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio. News Talk 1010.
Yeah, that's right. 8:34 is your time. Always a pleasure. Never a chore. Never. Even when I'm doing someone else's show. Chore? No. Pleasure? Yes. That's how I'm rolling. I bring you good news for those that are a little bit anally retentive about language and grammar. Which, as you'll know, I'm not necessarily. I do make quite a few mistakes, but if there's one thing that drives me mad, it's the incorrect use of literally, which happens all the time. I was on a streetcar the other day. Good thing about streetcars is because they're so slow, you get to hear everyone else's conversation. Always a bright side. And I was listening to a woman who said, I bumped into Ricky Gervais in New York. I literally pooed myself. And I thought, did you? Because if you literally pooed yourself, I mean, I don't know. I don't think Ricky has a wandering eye, but it didn't help. It didn't help you in any way. But if you are ruthless about grammar and you have Google Chrome, there is a new plugin. It's been highlighted at Yahoo. It could figuratively solve all of your problems because it's the literally browser extension. It gets rid of the word literally everywhere. So if you're fed up with reading it, then it will actually change it to figuratively. Now, the problem is, it does it all the time. So, for example, if your friend says on Facebook, I just bumped into Ricky Gervais, I literally pooed myself, it will change the word, as it should be, to I figuratively pooed myself. But of course, if, for example, I don't know, you hit a baseball so hard that it exploded, you might put on Facebook, I just literally exploded a baseball. Well, it's now going to say figuratively. So we're still a bit doomed, no matter what you do. So there is a downside. But if you want it, you can get it. It reduces and completely gets rid of the word literally from every single website and changes it for you. And if there's other things that annoy you, there's other filters. There's another Chrome app that gets you to delete Chris Brown from the internet. He just doesn't exist. Which isn't necessarily a bad thing. And my personal favourite, and I promise you I will be installing this, there is an app for Facebook that lets you avoid the endless parade of baby photos. Yes! They all look like scrotum bags. They're just babies. Nice scrotum. No, let's move on quickly. Turn your mic on. I just fed up with people, because some babies are incredibly ugly as well. I get fed up with people demanding to show me their baby in every possible setting. Now then, a gentleman has arrived. He is larger than life and literally, if I may be so bold, quite large. And his name is Mike Dodd. Hello.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, I guess.
That's very good radio because nowadays, well, with old podcasts, you just never know.
Exactly. Someone could be listening to me on the streetcar while they literally poo themselves right now. Exciting, isn't it?
The chances of pooing yourself in a streetcar are quite high, being that they're so slow you can never get the toilet on time, I find.
Well, there you go. And people aren't getting vaccinated, so you know you're just pooing everywhere.
I know.
It's terrible.
It's a charming thing. So Mike Dodd is, I'm going to call you our resident geek, if I may.
Pretty much. I mean, I work with you. I do stuff on the Jim Richards show, Graham, where I'm pretty much the crazy conspiracy guy, but also their resident nerd as well.
Yeah. You all right with that title?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You're a self-made geek. Now, earlier, well, I say earlier, some months ago, we had you on talking about your love of My Little Pony. So I don't really want to do that. We know you're a brony, a brother that loves My Little Pony. I will just ask you if you've got any more My Little Pony tattoos.
Sadly not. I actually haven't got a new piece of ink in, I guess it's been about a year and a half now, actually.
Have you got any, because I believe you had a beautiful pink I Love My Little Pony t-shirt. Have you got one of those?
I've got a role-playing game shirt on today. I'm representing Pathfinder.
Okay.
Which is like Dungeons and Dragons, but doesn't suck.
Okay. Now, there are trolls on the internet, and unfortunately, some of them leak onto the radio, so let's just get this out of the way now. I think we can safely say that you are a geek, but you're also a man with a lady in his life.
Yeah, I am married 3 years this July. Mm. We walked down the aisle to the Imperial March from Star Wars, and when I... When we got married, actually said I do and exchanged rings and everything, they played the Final Fantasy Victory fanfare.
So if you're wondering if he was a geek, there it is.
There is no doubt left in anybody's mind.
Does that mean as you were walking up, it was da-da-da-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun?
Oh, yeah. And actually, I've got a funny story about that, just to kind of tie in how much of a geek my wife is. She was asleep one morning, and I woke up before her, and she sometimes talks in her sleep. She was like, and it sounds like this. And she started singing the Imperial March.
Asleep?
So I had to wake her up. I'm like, why are you singing the Imperial March? She's like, I was asleep. How did you know?
Wow.
I'm like, oh dear, honey.
That is something else.
It was weird.
So what's happening in the world of geekdom? Because I'm not really a geek. I don't know what I am, but I'm certainly not cool. But you can help us with geekdom.
Oh, boy. I have lots of stuff. Free comic book day coming up next Saturday. Pretty big deal. You can go to your local comic book shop. They'll give you all sorts of cool things like, obviously, free comic books. Some of them actually give away free action figures. There's, like, artists you can meet. One of the guys that I talk with, I think Marvin Law, is doing something here in Toronto. I'm not sure where, though. Star Wars and Disney's always a hot topic. Disney pretty much just said, hey, you know all that expanded universe stuff that's been in books, novels, and television for the last, like, 20-plus years? Yeah, it doesn't count.
What does that mean? I don't quite understand.
Okay, so for Star Wars, there's the 6 movies, right?
Yes.
6 movies, the Clone Wars television show, whatever. So let's say you wrote a book about it. Lucasfilm signed off on it. You got your money. You made a really cool character. Let's call him Admiral Bob.
Uh-huh.
Admiral Bob no longer exists. So they've wiped Star Wars canon right out. And that's kind of...
What do you mean if I made a... I still don't get it. Well, if I made a character...
Before today... Or, yeah, like, before today, more or less, that character now no longer exists in official Star Wars canon.
Does that mean that all future Star Wars movies won't have anything that we are familiar with?
They'll still have the established... Basically, the only things that count right now are the 6 movies and the Clone Wars television show.
Okay. Is this...
Everything moving forward now counts.
See, I'm thinking... The world's still spinning. I'm still going to get up in the morning. I'm probably going to have a pint after the show. I don't see a big deal there. Is that terrible?
It's ticked off some nerds in the fandom. Other things going on. Marvel's going to have a really good year. I mean, Captain America opened a few weeks ago. Spider-Man opens this week.
Spider-Man 7?
2.
Is that all?
Yeah, this is the one that's directed by, I think it's still Mark Webb, and it's with Electro and the Green Goblin and Rhino, and then X-Men Days of Future Past comes out later on in May, Transformers 4 in June, and then Guardians of the Galaxy.
Is Megan Fox still in it?
No, but she is in the new Ninja Turtles movie, which comes out in August.
Have we just rewound to 1992?
You see, I'm kind of excited for the new, like, Turtles movie. I mean, I love the toys, so I'm looking forward to that.
Can you just remind everyone at this point how old you are?
I am 32.
Good. Move on. Yep.
Moving on. The new Turtles movie comes out in August. There's a new trailer, which came out a couple weeks ago. They look weird, to say the very least. The Turtles have noses, and they look very strange. Megan Fox is going to be playing April O'Neil. And I'm trying to remember, the guy, he played the bad guy in Armageddon. He was one who was going to shoot Bruce Willis on the space shuttle. He plays Shredder. A white guy plays Shredder.
Kevin Spacey?
No, not Kevin. William Finchler or something like that?
Richard Bacon?
Yes. He will play Master Splinter. Although, weird casting choice for Master Splinter. Have you ever heard of the TV show Monk?
No.
Have you ever seen the show Wings from way back in the day?
Sorry. I know the band.
Okay. Have you seen Men in Black?
Yes.
Do you remember the alien that gets his head blown off?
Actually, weirdly, I do.
He's Master Splinter.
Okay.
Tony Shalhoub. Of all the people on planet Earth, 6 billion people, we pick him.
Tony Shalhoub.
Is Master Splinter.
Shalhoub. That's a weird name. See, he'd be more in keeping with working at Mr. Lube.
It's one of those movies where it's bizarre. Oh, yeah, and Johnny Knoxville from Jackass is Leonardo.
Oh.
That does not inspire confidence, this movie. But, hey, you never know.
He's not an actor.
Well, I thought he did okay. He did a Schwarzenegger movie a couple years ago called The Last Stand. He played some crazy gun nut. He was fun in that. I just don't see him as the leader of a ninja team. Then again, look at what I'm saying. I'm talking about a guy who regularly gets, well, pooed on. And he's going to be talking about leading 4 pizza-eating ninja mutant turtles. It sounds ridiculous when you say it out loud.
Is he the one that's got a tattoo of himself? Oh, that's Steve-O.
Yeah, that's Steve-O.
Yeah.
I miss the Jackass days. I really do.
I think it ran its course.
It really did. Well, after Jackass 3D, where they had the guy running in the sweatsuit, I think that's pretty much the height of grossness.
Let's be honest. It finished just before one of them was definitely killed. So it's probably a good thing. I'm going to ask you a bit more about the world of geekdom. Oh, I don't get any music. Oh, I was left lonely. Thank you, Matt. You were very good. And Elliot, just warned me, man, you know? But you know what? You're a great guy. You've been doing very well. Last few weeks, you've been exceptional. And if I was the other way inclined, I would probably bust a move. That's what I'm saying.
Well, there's like a webcam in here, isn't there?
There is a webcam in here, yeah.
Can they see us?
Yes, they can, yeah.
Awesome.
If you want to see us, newstalk1010.com.
And, way to plug it. And Twitter.
Oh, go on then.
Well, you have to. If you want to see us on Twitter, it's at newstalk1010.
Oh, I thought you were going to plug yourself.
Oh, of course. Well, mine is at BirdmanDub. You can follow my various rantings and ravings.
Why are you called Birdman?
I had a rather unfortunate... Why does this topic keep coming back to poop? I got pooped out a lot when I was a kid by birds. And I just got a rare with it when I went to college. So I'm like, why not? I'll be the Bird King. Birdman, I got shortened to Bird King, or got shortened to Birdman from Bird King. When I was an RA at Niagara College, once upon a time.
I mean, it's a lot better than Pooh Man.
Yeah, I'm definitely happy they didn't call me like Poopy or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
so.
Poopy McGee, Poopy McPooperson. There could be many if I were young and immature. Well, I'm definitely one of those things. all right, so we're talking about geekdom with our resident geek. And one of the things I'd like to ask you is you've just mentioned all these, you know, new coming films like... apparently Teenage Ninja Turtles, again, and the new Spider-Man movie and so on. Is there a pressure within your camp, if you like, to enjoy all this stuff? Because there must be times, as a geek, you kind of have to go and watch Spider-Man 2. You can't not. It's a Marvel thing, and you've got to do it. But also, as a human being with his own individual tastes, desires, and so on, there must be times you think, this is crap.
Oh, my God. There were so many bad movies I've seen that I have an obligation to go. For example, when Transformers 2 Revenge of the Fallen came out, it was blasted. They had Devastator, the big combiner robot, had testicles. And I'm thinking...
What was he when he wasn't a robot?
He was five separate construction vehicles.
Did any of those have truck nuts?
No, but the big wrecking ball guy. It was so
there was two wrecking balls.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Shut up! You're not. Is this true?
Yeah, dead serious. And then they had this guy. He's like, I'm underneath the enemy scrotum, and then he hit him with like an airstrike or something. It was so stupid. Yeah, like a lot of us, we are encouraged to go see some of these movies. Like, if for example. Going back to Ninja Turtles. Mm. If we go in enough numbers and it opens really well, they might make a sequel. I mean, one movie a lot of us were pressured to go see, but it was really awesome, was Judge Dredd or Dredd 3D, which came out like 2 or 3 years ago. Mm. And Carl Urban's like, well, if enough people sign this petition, buy the DVD and stream it on Netflix, they might make a sequel. And it did really terribly at the box office, despite the fact that everybody loved it. Just nobody saw it. It came out in January.
Yeah. And did you sign this petition?
I actually haven't yet. I get so many things coming across my like Facebook feed. I just tend to miss it.
Well, that was one of my other questions actually, because here we are. You said yes, there is a social pressure to watch all these things. How much does it cost to be a geek? Because you spend a lot of money before you answer on, well, for example, a tattoo of My Little Pony. Who hasn't got one of those, obviously? But and then you've got this, you know, this role-playing t-shirt on, and the just sheer amount of tickets that you must buy to all these various movies. How much does it cost to be a geek?
Well, let's just say I'm in the very advantageous position of being geek media, so it doesn't cost me as much, but the average person, it can really rack it up. I mean, especially in May, there's like I said, Spider-Man, X-Men, Godzilla. There's probably a few other movies I'm like kind of missing in there too. Mm. So it's going to be bloody expensive to go to the movies. And this summer is going to be packed with a lot of big movies. Next summer, we got the Avengers 2 coming out. So that'll be popular. I mean, it gets really expensive. And then depending on what fandom you're in, like if you buy toys or comic books or video games, stuff like that, it can really add up after a while.
But a man in his mid-30s obviously wouldn't buy toys.
Well, you know what? It's no different than someone going out and buying, say, NASCAR stuff or Toronto Maple Leaf stuff.
Actually, you're right. And that stuff really costs a fortune.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Maybe you go out to the bars every weekend. That's like stupendously expensive.
Oh, yeah. Like, you see, I'd much rather spend $30, $40 on a toy than spend $30 at the bar and puke. At least I get to keep something.
Mm.
Well, maybe if I meet a nice young lady when I was single, you know, then maybe it's worth $30-$40.
But, yeah.
But other than that, no, I'd much rather have something that I can keep.
Yeah. And I've done that with vomit. You know, it's
just
never
jars,
the same.
Right?
Yeah. I like to do that. Sometimes I send it to my ex. Just say, I'm really.
Actually, I have a story. I don't know whether I want to tell you this. I've actually sent.
I'm going to stop you. Pause. We're going to do an ad break. The suspense is at its most.
You'll love it.
I'm looking forward to this. We'll be back with Mike Dodd, the resident geek, in one moment.
You're tuned in to the Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Normally, you'd be listening to Pei Chen now, but she's in Halifax with her mummy, and so I'm filling in for her. And then, who's doing my show? Oh, me. Yeah, Muggins here. Working me to the bone. 2 hours in 1 week, honestly. It's like a full-time job. It's not like a full-time job at all, is it?
But this is much more fun.
Yeah, it's great. I absolutely love this, and I genuinely mean that. It's nearly always the highlight of my week. Sometimes I finish the show and I don't feel like it went that well. And then those nights.
And then you invite me and the show is amazing.
Well, that's why you're here. I mean, it's.
I would hang out for the full 2 hours if you wanted me to.
Well, we're going to change direction and talk something mildly serious later. And I don't think you can do that.
That sounds like a challenge.
Have you ever done serious on the radio?
Of course, all the time. Actually, I've gone on rather political rants about stuff before. But I can get serious. I can talk about the children or something. I don't know.
Via My Little Pony.
Shut up.
So you are our resident geek, and we were talking about the social pressure in the world of geekdom for you to see all these movies, Spider-Man being one of a billion that you have to watch every year. We were also discussing what you did when you were unhappy about something.
Okay.
Go on, elaborate.
All right, so last year and this year, there was a show on television called Kitchen Nightmares. And
with Gordon Pottymouth Ramsay.
Love that guy. And he visited a place in Arizona called Amy's Bakery. Mm. These guys were blasting people on Facebook, on Twitter, on social media, like Yelp, stuff like that. And these guys are friggin' crazy. Like, they are literally nuts. And so the internet decided, you know what? We don't like you very much. Mm. I decided to add my own little pile of joy into this. And I sent them a package, a rather stinky package. Vinny knows exactly what I'm talking. I don't want to reveal precisely what because I don't want to get sued. Then again, I'm in Canada. What are you going to do?
Oh, yeah. Don't worry about that. Yeah. That'd be all right.
So, sent them a... actually, Vinny, why don't you take this? Where did I go? Name the website. It's fun.
Well, he's just told me this, I have to confess. He sent some gorilla poo.
Gorilla poop from poopsender.com.
Poopsenders.com.
Now, it's sent as a gag gift. It's not real. It's like sending someone fake dog vomit or whatever. I did it in good fun because you know what? And they kind of did it too because now they have restaurants that say take your pizza and off sort of thing.
Oh, so they're almost intentionally.
Yeah, exactly.
Rude and
so you know what?
I think much like Gordon Ramsay himself, by the way.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, you know what? They've gotta have a sense of humor about this. And I think the season premiere of like Kitchen Nightmares, they actually came back and they started talking with these people. And it's only gotten worse, but now they're like this bizarre tourist trap.
But I feel weird that you felt the need. See, if you ate the restaurant and you hated it, I would understand why you sent them gorilla poo.
Well,
but
it's just the fact that they were so mean to everybody. If there I am, the warrior, or like sometimes I like to call people out on like Twitter and just, you know, just have fun with them. I'm actually, I would love to have a celebrity rival at some point. I don't know, maybe Alan Thicke or someone. I don't know. No particular reason.
There are, I might suggest, a few more decent causes, like, I don't know, war criminals, people behind the recent violence in Ukraine, racists that
I
might
do
be more deserving.
Well, I do, like, animal activism stuff. I always do stuff with this children's charity called Child's Play every year. Mm. I raise money for Toronto Sick Kids Hospital. Big supporter of that, native rights. Actually, one thing, if you want to get serious for just a moment, there's this huge thing online, I imagine this might actually generate some calls, about fat acceptance and fat shaming people. There was an article on the Huffington Post, would have been about a year ago, where it said fat shaming is the last acceptable form of prejudice, and that's not okay.
And how does one go about fat shaming?
Well, let's say you're walking down the street. If you see a fat guy, you'll likely think less of him. just because you've been conditioned that way. Mm. On television, you see a fat guy, they're portrayed as lazy, stupid. There's always this pressure on the characters to, like, they have to fit a certain thing. That's why you don't often see a lot of fat women, for example, leading big movies. What's that woman's name from Bridesmaids whose name completely escapes me?
I don't know, but she's hilariously funny.
Yeah, oh yeah, she's funny.
Yeah.
But you don't see her leading stuff too often. And fat women get it worse than fat guys, which is really terrible. Although there's people online, they're like, you know what, love yourself, love thyself.
Mm.
But yeah, there's still people that look down on it. I remember airlines are kicking people off for being a chunky dude, stuff like that. And I don't know, it's terrible that we feel the need as a culture to make fun of someone or shame them because they don't fit to this thing. And yeah, obviously there's the whole health thing and you have to be healthy, but you can be healthy at almost any size. But then again,
I was with you all the way till then.
It's possible.
There is enormous, overwhelming evidence to suggest that.
And yet my blood work is fine and I'm over 400 pounds.
Let me finish. And are you?
Yeah.
Oh, I am surprised.
You wouldn't know it, eh?
Well, I would say that you're slightly bigger than me, that's for sure. But no, there's overwhelming evidence to suggest that obesity is at a critical mass. And last year, for the first time, it had a more burdening effect on the healthcare system in this country than that of smokers. Partially because people are giving up smoking a little more, but also because obesity is out of control. There's plenty of evidence to suggest that it's unhealthy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, if you're overweight, you should do something about it. But you shouldn't be made to feel, like, terrible and depressed.
That's true.
Yeah,
of course, the very obvious point there is that it might well make you even fatter anyway.
Well, yeah.
Because one of the problems might be that you've got an eating disorder because you're so bloody unhappy. So the last thing that you're going to need is someone reminding you how fat you are because that's going to make you reach for the old chocolate.
Yeah, I mean, it's terrible. And there was actually a thing on YouTube. There's a site, channel I watch called D News, and they were talking about should obesity still be considered a disease. And while more people are starting to figure it out, if it's a disease, they're willing to let it go as opposed to being treated as something else. They feel it's not their responsibility.
Okay, I understand. Yeah, we stumbled into that. I would like to talk to you about that another time. I'm sure we would get some phone calls on it. But alas, I'm afraid, my dear friend, we have run out of time. Thank you for joining us and telling us the world of geekdom.
Of course. And if you want to hear more about my stuff, you can visit me at thisweekingeek.net. And you can also find me on Twitter at BirdmanDodd.
And if you want to send any spam or abuse, do bear in mind that you'll probably end up with some gorilla poo on your doorstep.
Because I love you people.
Poopsenders.com, by the way, is the site if you want to send anyone else any sort of poop. And I believe you can even send some elephant poo. Very lovely. One of my favourites.
This is the classiest segment ever, isn't it?
We were serious for nearly 30 seconds. We'll be back with my actual show after some breaks and stuff. Hang around. My name's Vinny. Thanks, Mike.
This is the Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Good evening and welcome to the Vinny White Show. A bit low on money, so I'm doing that occasionally in the hope to get some voiceover work. Colgate Blue Minty Gel is the finest toothpaste for your needs. Other toothpastes are available. Why don't you come to the restaurant? The restaurant in Toronto. The best food in Toronto. Insert name of restaurant here. Rates are negotiable, but cheap. And getting cheaper. hello, I'm Vinny. I've been on for the last hour covering pay, so it seems a bit weird to now suddenly go hello and introduce myself. But I'll do that anyway for anyone that's just bothered to turn on. And where on earth were you, for goodness sake? I've been here banging on my own. I needed you. Hmm? Where were you? Goodness sake. Thank goodness you're here now. Don't you dare leave. Don't leave. My name's Vinny. I'm on till 10. I'm from near London, and I've lived here for 7 years. And that's all the life story you need, I think. The phone numbers you'll need, 416-872-1010. You can text me on 71010. Great. And you can also press StarTalk 8255 on your cell phone. All ways of getting in touch should you need to ask a question or throw your bit in, which you're welcome to do at any point. You really are. And you don't even have to wait for me to say that. It's a big open forum. Although I am quite busy over the next hour because we've got two guests. Two, I tell you. Would you? Adam and Eve it. Would you believe it? So what's going to happen is we're going to talk about, we're going to look at loneliness and the epidemic that is loneliness in North America and the rest of the Western world, and what we can do about it. And so if you're feeling lonely and you huddle up to the radio, and I don't know, perhaps you've arranged your clothing in a way to demonstrate that I might actually be in the room, then obviously you've got some pathological worrying issues. But also you can listen to this show to get all the answers you need. And so we're going to talk to, I think we're going to call him a motivational speaker, although I don't think that's strictly true. He's someone that's reevaluated life of late and has come up with some decisions, some thoughts that perhaps are going to be helpful to us. He had some medical issues. And it's so often the case in life, if you've had medical issues, you tend to sort of recalibrate and understand what's important in life. And the sad truth is that sometimes, apparently, you have to get ill. Well, that seems stupid. Why not get ill and just listen to someone that's been ill and can tell us how to live our lives a little bit better? You don't have to hang off every word, but it might be helpful for all of us to actually remind ourselves what's important in life. So I'm really looking forward to speaking to Pablo Coffey. He's a motivational speaker and a man with an interesting story in Ottawa. But first, to set this up, let's talk about loneliness. Oh, no, sorry, one more thing I should also mention. We're going to talk about your worst ever internet date and speak to a relationship guidance chick that can help us get better dates. So if you're lonely, this is the show for you. Because the first half's all about loneliness and how to combat it. And then the second half's how to get a date. And then it's on you. You're off. I'm just pushing the bicycle. I'm going to let you go at 10 o'clock and you're going to pedal to the sunset. And you know what? You might fall off a couple of times. But you get yourself back up and you peel those scabs off and you keep trucking. Hmm? That's what you do. You know who you are? You're a star. Hmm? Don't let those bastards bring you down anymore. Sorry, I think I've turned into the motivational speaker. Don't know what happened. Let's talk about loneliness. It's an epidemic, and I believe, and I'm willing to be wrong on this, so do phone me if you disagree. I believe that actually social media is making us more lonely. And there's some evidence to suggest it. Sadly, there's also evidence to suggest the complete opposite. But I think we can safely say that we, as a human species, were not designed to live in enormous glass tower boxes where we don't talk to anyone all day. If we do work in an office, we very often shuffle our way in, say a few good mornings, make a cup of coffee, and then sit down and look at a screen for hours on end. That's not what was supposed to happen. And that's a problem that's, it's an epidemic, isn't it? Across the Western world. And having travelled recently in Nicaragua, I can say that despite the fact they've one of the poorest countries in the world, and the second poorest country in Central America after Haiti, traveling there, it really broadened my mind as to what's important, because people are laughing and joking and having absolute fun all the time. And I found myself doing proper belly laughs every day with some new friends, despite my lack of Spanish knowledge. So it's all about just opening yourself up to it. And I think sometimes we get so trapped in our lives. Plus, let's be honest, the weather's not really helping here in Toronto. And why don't we just lump in the rest of Canada as well while we're at it? It's been pretty rubbish all the way through winter. So let's get some stats. Let's look at loneliness. And here is a little bit of a soupçon of a moral lesson for us all about loneliness.
A simple thought. Monkeys that are known to have a developed social life organize in small groups of several dozen members. The size of each of these groups is limited. In order for them to function, all members of the group need to know each other well. The average size of the group changes from 20 to 50 members. When the number of monkeys in a group passes a certain threshold, the social order crumbles, and the group tends to split into two separate groups. A similar situation can be found amongst humans as well. The invention of language and gossip has helped us shape larger and more stable groups. Sociological research indicates that the maximum natural size of a group of humans is roughly 150 members. Most humans are just incapable of intimately knowing more than 150 people, so even today, the threshold of human organization is around the number of 150 members.
So 150 members is what's considered to be the normal amount of people that you would know, whereas all you have to look at is some people's Facebook accounts and realize they've got thousands and thousands of friends. And believe me, I put that very much in inverted commas, which I also found out is a terrible thing to do on the radio because it doesn't work. However, the point is that we're getting lonelier. And maybe we're getting lonelier thanks to social media.
Man is a social creature, and the feeling of loneliness can drive him mad. Yet the Western and modern world sanctions individuality. The individual is measured by personal achievements, such as having a career, wealth, a self-image, and consumerism. In this course of action, many people lose their social and familial connections in favor of a self-actualization ideal. As the social fabric in the Western world weakens, it is not surprising that more and more people define themselves as lonely, and thus, loneliness has become the most common ailment of the modern world.
Loneliness is the most common ailment of the modern world. Well, it's very difficult to judge on whether that's actually factually true, because after all, if you have broken your arm, it's pretty easy to get an x-ray. But if you think you might be lonely, maybe you are, maybe you're not going to tell someone. So the studies that have been done on loneliness, I always leave quite a large margin for error, just because it's so difficult to define what loneliness is. Research has shown that loneliness is widely prevalent throughout society among people in marriages, relationships, families, and successful careers. It's certainly got no weight on what you do or who you hang around with to a certain degree. Loneliness is a social pain, which means it's a psychological mechanism meant to alert an individual of isolation and motivate him or her to seek social connections. Well, it's been estimated that about 60 million people in the US, or 20% of the total population, feel lonely all the time. Another study found that 12% of Americans have no one with whom they spend free time with to discuss important matters. So if they are, you know, popping down the coffee shop with Julie, all they're doing is talking about hair and makeup and not actually saying, what the hell's all this about? Why are we here? And is that guy over there hot or what? And all that other stuff that men and women do all over the place. Other research suggests that this rate has been increasing over time. The General Social Survey found that between 1985 and 2004, the number of people the average American discusses important matters with has decreased from 3 to 2. Additionally, the number of Americans with no one to discuss important matters with has tripled. So the number of Americans with no one to discuss important matters has tripled. Now, I appreciate we're not American, but I think it's fair to say that we live a fairly similar lifestyle, and loneliness is certainly prevalent in big cities like this. So, what are we going to do about it? Well, I think we should all sleep together. And I think that's the answer. So, next week, we're going to all get in this radio studio naked. What's that? Oh, I'm sorry. Were I tapping into people's weaknesses to then get them naked? Well, I'm a man. a sadistic one. No, in all truth, I think the best thing we can do is talk to people that might have the answer. And I'm going to be joined right now by Pablo Coffee. Am I saying your last name right, Pablo?
You are, like the drink, only not spelt the same.
Okay, Pablo Coffee, I spoke to you very briefly earlier, and I know a little about your story, but I'd like to get you to speak, because that's what you do now, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Tell us, first of all, what it is that you do, and then I guess you need to tell us why you do it.
Sure. Well, first of all, I want to say Toronto is very lucky to have you. We miss you here in Ottawa, and Toronto's very blessed to have you there. So
thank you
for bringing me on this evening.
Pleasure.
Very kind.
I should have mentioned that you are calling from Ottawa, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So basically, Vinny, what I do is I take opportunities when asked upon me to speak at events, whether they're related to the Cancer Foundation, the Brain Tumor Foundation, the Children's Make-A-Wish Foundation, etc. My health life over the last number of years, including what was my 20th surgery about 6 weeks ago, has led me to being at home full-time as a dad, which is the most remarkable part of everything, is that I get to raise my kids every day.
How old are your kids?
Isabella is 7 and Simon is 5. They were 1 and 4 since I've been home full-time on disability. But I didn't want them seeing a dad who sat around who, you know, feels he's earned the right to do nothing and just be lazy and feel okay with that. I needed to find something to motivate not only myself, but to motivate them to grow up seeing a dad who made something of himself, even though his, you know, wasn't able to do it in the most fashionable ways.
So tell us some of these surgeries that you've had to go through, and when did all the trouble start?
It all started when I was 17, when I was diagnosed with testicular cancer, and when you learn something, especially values of life, at such a young age, it teaches you a lot.
Yeah.
You know, as a young man, and that leads into adulthood. And so it taught me at a very young age, you know, to take very little for granted and to really be appreciative of what I have and have had in my life. And that led to the last 4 years. In fact, yesterday was the four-year craniversary, as we like to call it here at our house.
I love what you did.
From my my brain surgery.
Yeah, craniversary, cranium.
Yes.
Right? I'll slightly ruin it when I explain it. Sorry.
I should not take credit for that. Julia, my wife, created that, so that is all her.
Oh, bless.
So in the last 4 years, it's been a matter of the brain surgery, 37 rounds of treatment, a stroke, which was 5 days after the brain surgery, multiple surgeries on the lower spine, a tumor removed from the colon. It just doesn't seem to want to come to an end.
Mm.
But I find the happiness at the end of all these tunnels.
Mm.
And I look at it, better me than someone else. Now that I've learned how to deal with these things, I'd rather go through this than watch someone else go through it.
Mm. That's very noble. And if I may be so bold, it's actually quite peculiar. Why? What? Because I sense your genuine tone. I know you're not trying to be impressive, but... Why would you want to go through all this pain and suffering and not want someone else to do it for you?
I don't know if it's so much that it's a want for me, is that I'm okay handling it because I know what my expectations are, especially coming out of something such as brain surgery, you know, with all the treatment and something so life-threatening. And, you know, I was in fact given... which turned out to be a mistake, a timeline of how long I had to live.
And what did they say? How long was it?
I was told 9 months to a year.
And when was that?
I can't recall exactly how long after the brain surgery, but it was a different oncologist who came to visit me that day. My oncologist wasn't in, and I wasn't even addressed by name, so it turned out that they were reading it from the wrong file.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so there was a very large mistake made there, to which my response was, I understand human error, but just please tell me you haven't gone and told someone else that they're going to be okay.
Yeah. Which, what was the answer to that?
I did not get a response to that.
I don't think you even want to know.
No.
Okay, so it was a mistake, and absolutely abhorrently bad one, which I'm, I hope they... Did they apologise for that?
Thank you.
Yeah. So anyway, let's move on. You've battled through enormous amounts of health issues, and you... not necessarily come out the other side, so to speak. You're not of perfect health, and you're not now capable to hold a normal working job, are you?
No, I'm on long-term disability. It would take a number of doctors to approve my ability to be able to go back to a full-time job or to go back to school to create a new career. But the biggest issue with me is my memory was so damaged from the brain surgery, from where the tumor was, right on my memory line. And in fact, a lot of my long-term memory was wiped right out. I have bits and pieces from childhood, but not all of it. Mm. And Julia, my wife, in fact, in the morning, most days of the week, when she gets to the office, will send me an email with daily updates of what should, you know, just stuff to get remembered around the house and with the children and day-to-day stuff.
Mm.
You know, sometimes it's a great excuse for me to forget to do a load of laundry, but I don't always get away with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I like your style. Look, you've got to cut a few corners here and there, buddy. Make use of what you've got.
That's right.
Okay, so it would be very easy for you to be pretty down on your luck. It would be very easy for you to have thought along this journey, there's something out to get me here. Life's crap. What's the point? You know, many have fallen, Pablo, over far less. But you kept your pecker up and you kept your motivation up. And now you go into schools and talk to people and do talks in front of enormous halls about your story. What's your message from all of this?
Well, mine is just to let people know that there really is the other side of the fence. There really is the wake up the next day and take every moment of that day in and stop living in what was yesterday. Stop panicking about the future. I mean, the future is just that. It's the future. It's not the now. The past is just that. It's not the now. live in the now. And I know that sounds very dramatic and very, you know, overdone, but, you know, I just, to me, that's just the way I live my life, and I want people to understand that, you know, find the little things each day that make you smile, and don't worry about, you know, the things that have you down. And you know, it sort of leads me to, you know, listening to the video that you shared with the social networking and how that makes one feel. And that, for me, has been a very big part of my internal recovery, in the sense that before I was sick and on long-term disability 4 years ago, I was in the restaurant business for 17 years where, you know, you're involved with hundreds of people every day. And, you know, I'm a very type A personality. I'm a Maritimer from PEI, born and raised. Mm. And to go from that lifestyle to being home 24/7, you know, you kind of, I'm the kind of guy who jumped to that social media where I counted on Facebook and Twitter and all these things to really, you know, get me through day to day. And I was the guy who had, you know, 28 posts a day on Facebook, you know, because I didn't feel I needed the attention or certainly not empathy or sympathy for everything that I was going through, but it was my way to communicate with the world, you know, and it talks about, you know, the quality as opposed to the quantity of friends. And one thing, you know, when I posted yesterday about it being the four-year anniversary of the brain surgery, I'm looking at all the likes and comments on that post, and I'm realizing that, you know, there's a third of the likes on there are names where it's taken me a moment to recognize them or remember where I know them from.
I see, yeah. So from your experience, would you say that this substitute for your social life, which was a screen with Facebook on it, I mean, it's certainly better than nothing, but did it really fill that void?
Yes and no. I think it filled a false void for me. I think at the end of the day, it made me think that, you know what, I'm surrounded by good people. I'm in a good place. I'm okay. I'm happy. But at the end of the day, you know, as I'm trying to fall asleep at night and I'm flipping through my phone, through faces on pages, sorry, on Facebook or on Twitter, and, you know, and then I have those moments like, you know, it is very much just a chance for people to try and show themselves at their best to impress everyone else. And, I mean, is there real character and real conversations that are being had here? And, you know, for me, anyone that knows me, if it's a friend's birthday and even a Facebook friend, I don't just send you a message on Facebook. I pick up the phone and I call you, because that's what friends do. You know, you put the phone down or the iPad down or the laptop down, and you make that personal connection. And for me, I still need that being home full time. I need to feel that connection, and whether it's voice to voice or eye to eye with friends and family, then that's where I get it from.
So would you have advice for people that have found themselves in a situation where they're, maybe they're in a job that doesn't, a lot of people don't want to work with the people that they work with. We're never in a position to choose our work colleagues, after all. So perhaps they don't do a lot of communicating at home. Maybe they live in one of the billion and a half condos that litter the skyline here in Toronto. And maybe they don't have any interaction with their neighbours there. Maybe when they do go out, their conversation might be rather superficial. Maybe they just get home and they just think, look, what the bloody hell is the point in all of this? I'm not speaking from my own perspective, but I have been there. What would you say to people like that? How can people find more value in their life, and what should they do?
I think they just need to take a moment, debrief their day, debrief their life and what's going on and what's entailed in it, and really take it in and you know, pick out, I'm not saying handpick your friends and family and you know, start to exit those who don't mean as much or you don't speak to as often. I mean, I have friends, and we all do, who we can run into or speak to once a year, who mean so much more to us, you know, than people who we talk to once a week, let's say. But, you know, people need to take a grasp on what is their day-to-day, and, you know, all of a sudden it's going to be 35, 40 years from now. It's going to be retirement time, and you're going to look back going, where did it go? Why did I let it all slide away? Why did I not give myself that chance, you know, to make my life so fulfilling? Whatever, in whatever way it is, more family time, more travel time, more social time, in whatever factor it is that you feel you need to do, you know, do it now.
Do it now. Now's the time.
Live in the now.
Yeah.
Like I said, and I know it doesn't bear repeating, but the future is just that.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, you're going to be there.
And you may well have that moment where you think, oh, I didn't really do what I wanted to do. They
right.
did a study in the United States some years ago, and I remember they asked, it was a really controlled, big study. They asked 1,000 people on their deathbed what they would do differently and how they felt. And the smallest percentage of answers were those that said, I wish I'd have earned more money. Because
right.
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And some people always say to me at this point, it does matter. You haven't got kids to feed. You don't know what it's like. Yeah, it matters to the point of being able to get by and making sure that people are healthy. But any more than a wealth that can get you the necessities is really completely and utterly unimportant. And there's millions of studies to suggest that it just does not make you happy.
Sure. And, you know, and I've sort of, you know, in a small fractured way, I've experienced that. You know, I had a career before I got sick where things, you know, came a little bit easier for our family to enjoy. Toys for the kids, toys for daddy, you know, going out and golfing with my father-in-law and, you know, every other weekend as opposed to, you know, only a couple times a summer now. And when you lose the materialistic value and the financial value of what you recognize having had, and now you're trying to deal with things such as being on disability and you know, how much that pays, that's another massive reality check in, as you know, to what's important in your world. And for me to go out, when we go grocery shopping on the weekends, we take the kids to one particular grocery store in our neighborhood, and they get to pick out a toy. And that, to me, is the smile on their face. And it doesn't matter the cost of the toy. It could be a toonie. It could be upwards of $10.
Mm.
It reminds me of being a child and when my mom would take me in the mornings and we would go and I would pick out one toy. And that, to me, is so much more gratifying than going out and buying them the most expensive toys, you know, just
yeah.
to say I'm the dad who does that for my kids.
Yeah, it doesn't work. Yeah.
No, it really
and sometimes
doesn't.
You see in divorced life, I'm going to go and buy that girl the biggest and best doll's house, and that'll show the mother that I'm worthy and that I'm rich and that I care about them. It doesn't work. It'll just collect dust as they play with something that's worth $2.
Well, and you remind me of a great and valuable point in my life in that, you know, my wife's family, who has been, I can't even, there isn't enough thanks, Vinny, for me to thank, pardon me, my wife's family and what they've done for me. And I've lost most of my family, unfortunately, to cancer over the last number, my sister 3 years ago and my dad 10 years ago. And, you know, if it wasn't for them, I don't know where I would be. Psychologically, where we would be financially, they've been so helpful. You know, but it's there's no words.
Yeah. You are living evidence that you are not only needed, but frankly, it probably kept you alive to have a support network.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had people, this is sort of an interesting question that I've dealt with over the last number of years, is how would you have dealt with this differently if you had been a bachelor? You get diagnosed with the brain tumor. It's time to go in for brain surgery, all the rounds of radiation and treatment. You're living on your own. You're living the bachelor lifestyle. How do you deal with that as opposed to being at home with your wife and your two children?
Mm.
And my first answer to that is, I can't answer that because that's not the life I had. The life I have while I'm dealing with it, and the life I had while dealing with it, is that I have a wife at home. I have two beautiful children at home. That's what I will respond to. I have no idea how I would have reacted. It may have been very different. But we need to base our decisions and our natural reactions are solely based on the lives that we lead and our surroundings.
Mm. And they're the ones to focus on.
Absolutely.
And since we're on the subject, perhaps that would also be a lesson to people to stop posting ridiculous things on Facebook that they're not even doing. We don't want to see the advert for the life you don't have. I'd rather see the one that you did.
Right. Which is why I'm all, you know, I constantly tell people I love debating on Facebook. No opinion is wrong. if you're,
oh, I don't know, George Pérez II is a nice guy. That is wrong.
Sure. Yeah, okay. there are factual evidence.
There is facts in there, buddy.
Exactly. Factual evidence can lead to opinions being misled and or wrong, I suppose. Yeah. But I love the debate stuff with people and, sports, politics, all of that stuff. You got to find the right tone and the right people to do it with. It's a fun part of life.
Well, I want to thank you very much. I wish you good health in your continuing life. And I'm overjoyed to hear that you're... I think I'm right in saying that foolish mistake that the hospital made doesn't apply. So you're good to go. You're not working and there are still problems, but you are living and you're living a good, solid life, aren't you?
I get to raise my children.
Yeah, which is just...
I put them on the school bus in the morning. I get them off the school bus in the afternoon. And there is no greater job in the world than that.
Well, thank you very much for spreading, because a lot of people that have more than you and have health don't appreciate these things. So it's great that you've turned this into an opportunity to remind people what's important in life. So thank you very much, Pablo Coffey.
Thank you very kindly, Vinny. I appreciate your time.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Jolly, jolly nice chap. Pablo Coffey is his name. He is I think we'll call him a motivational speaker. He's just someone with a story that he likes to tell and go into schools and remind people what it's all about. And hopefully we took something, just a little snippet out of that. We'll be back and we'll be talking about how you can find a partner. How perfect. Now you don't feel lonely. Now we're going to shack you up with Captain Sexy Pants. You're listening to News Talk 1010.
You're tuned in to The Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
You're tuned in. Good evening. How are you? My name's Vinny. It's flying by this show, so we better pull our finger out and get on with it, I would say. If you want to download the podcast, and why wouldn't you do that? What's that? You're busy? Oh, okay. Well, if you want to download it, you could always go to vinnywhite.co.uk. And that's where you'll find it every week on a Monday. And, it puts a little smile on your face with some light and fluffy advice on how to live a better life and a tremendous amount of boil. I nearly said the S word, but I won't say style. So, how do you have a relationship? That's what we want to know. I put on Facebook earlier on, what was your worst date experience? Because I always love these because it makes me feel better about the ones I've had. And I'll give you some here. If you want to text your worst date experience, please, we would like them at 71010 is the text. What was your worst date experience? And Gail said, he poked my boob when I entered his truck.
Yeah, it's never a good way to start.
It's not good, is it? I actually thought it said that he poked my boob when I entered his trunk, which would be a terrible date. If you're in someone's trunk, it's definitely going badly. Sherry says he came close to that's not funny. I'm not even reading that out. Something awful happened to her. Okay, when I said dark, I didn't want that dark. Kim says my problem with dating is that I'm not having any dates. Well, don't worry, Kim, because we're going to sort you out in a minute. Patricia said my worst date was Vinnie White, and I just remembered that's actually true. Yeah, she was I quite liked her, but I don't think she felt the same way. Tina said, my worst one ever. I really liked him. I got out of the car and he gave me a high five. A high five? Oh, he didn't like you, love. So I'm joined by Julie Baker. She is a dating expert and she has all kinds of tips for us to get our leg over. Sorry, to get in a loving, meaningful relationship. If you want your leg over, by the way, use the app. What's it called? Tinder, isn't it? Have you ever used it?
No, and why are you pretending that you don't know what it is, Vinny?
Shut up. I would never Tinder. You're asking for trouble. Tinder, okay. By the way, is Grindr was for the homosexual generation. Generation? There's a generation of homosexuals. Sorry, the homosexual people, I think is the term. And then Tinder is for every Tom, Dick and Harry to get some Dick and Harry. So I would like to ask you, first of all, you're a dating expert, Julie. What are people doing wrong? What's going on here? Because I'm getting email after email of terrible dating story.
Well, I think that sometimes people go into a date with a grand expectation. And really, dating is all about the numbers game and being open to experiences. Some people say, I can't meet people. Like your friend there online says, I don't get any dates. Mm. One has to be sort of open and positive about it and really create opportunities for yourself. You can't really let the universe come to you. You have to go out there.
Do you mean wear lingerie to work and nothing else?
Well, that could get different kind of dates. Depends what you're really looking for.
Mm.
Yeah. But a lot of people are still very afraid of getting on the online dating. I'm not saying online dating is the only way. I think it's one of the ways to meet people. It's one of the ways to get out there in this sort of social age behind the computer type of attitude, but you can meet them anywhere. You can meet them at the grocery store, in the airport, through your friends.
I've never in my life met anyone in a grocery store. I've wanted to talk to them, and I've gone up and held their melons, but never have I managed. I was talking of fruit, of course.
Of course.
Not that forward.
Well, I just mean that being friendly and open is the way to meet people. In fact, I think that's how you and I became friends. Actually,
we met in a bar, didn't we?
We did. We met at a bar and we said hello and then we carried on a conversation. A lot of people assume just because a guy's talking to you, they're trying to hit on you, when really you should just take it as they're being friendly. Let's see where this goes.
We've never had sex.
No, we have not.
Have we?
I'm glad we're telling the whole world this. No, we have not.
Well, it'd be more embarrassing if we had.
Yes, it would be.
The fact we haven't.
No.
I'm not sure why I felt the need to tell everyone, but yeah. I have not had sex with this woman.
No. No, and I'm proud to say I have not had sex with Vinnie White
either.
Sorry,
did you just say you're proud to say?
Sorry, Vinnie.
Yeah, fair enough. I'll take it. Yeah. So, yes, we did meet in a bar, and you can meet in a grocery store. And I love the simplicity of saying, you know, be friendly and open. A lot of people, particularly in a big city like this, aren't very good at being friendly. It's
no.
in your blood. You're a newfie, you know.
Yeah, The East Coast is much easier.
Yeah, and I've got a bit of a benefit that I've got an accent. So a lot of people just turn around and say, oh, where are you from? And then I punch them when they guess Australian. And so it's quite beneficial. If you're just a Torontonian that's in the suburbs, perhaps, and you come in for an evening and see someone hot at the bar, what's the best approach to take?
Oh, well, if we're taking that approach, I think, again, it's to be friendly and throw it out there. You're going to get rejected sometimes.
Give me a line, because no one likes a pickup line. So what can you say? Hello? How are you? I mean, what do you do?
Hello.
What, you just...
How's your night going?
How's your night going? Hello. Just like that.
A common thing I do is be at the bar and comment on the drink that they order.
Oh.
Oh, how's that beer? I've never had that before. Or, oh, you're a mojito man. And just having a conversation about a drink, that's something in common.
See,
yeah,
well, it sounds so simple. What do you do in a grocery store if you want to start a conversation for an opener? Nice legs. What time do they open?
I've never used that one. You use that one. Let me know how it goes.
It gets you the best slap around the face you'll ever imagine. No, what do you do? I never use pickup lines.
Yeah,
and I think most women don't like them, don't they?
No, it's best to just have a conversation like you would if you were paying at the checkout. You have a little bit of banter with the cashier. Mm. Why not have it with the same person looking at the apples?
Okay. Yeah. Why is that funny? There's nothing metaphorical about that.
Nothing at all. Nothing at all.
If they were looking at the cucumbers, perhaps.
Yeah.
All right. Well, some of the stories that have come through so far, the common thread that I'm seeing is that a lot of people are taking presumptions. So particularly, most of these are internet dates that are coming through. I asked the question, what's your worst date experience? It nearly all seems that usually the guy, shocker, makes a move and makes it way too early and sometimes with far too much force and sometimes gets it wrong. Do we need to just chill out a bit?
Well, I think you just need to read your audience.
Mm.
Yeah. Everybody has different expectations, and some people are direct and some people can't handle direct, and some people like to move things slow. And I think the best thing to do is maybe ask permission.
What's the worst date you've had, and how could he have done it better?
Oh, I don't know if I can categorize my worst date, but I can give you some examples.
Sure.
For instance, I went out with a guy that I met online one time, and he knew that I enjoyed the beverage. We went to a place that had 26 pages of beer, and he knew that I enjoyed beer. So that was nice of him to pick somewhere that I liked.
Good on him.
Yeah. But what he did wrong is he picked somewhere where he wasn't comfortable. He didn't drink alcohol. Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest, that was never going to work anyway.
No, it wasn't. But that's just an example of, that was nice that he chose something for me, but he should have chose something that he was comfortable at.
Yeah.
Because he was awkward the entire time, and frankly, he was very insecure.
Yeah.
So I was not attracted to him in any way because of that. If he had chosen, let's go for a dinner or a coffee or something.
Exactly. He should have said, he should have made it a joke as well. He should have said, look, you're a newfie. You probably like a beer. I know it's not entirely normal for you, but how about we meet for coffee? I'll shout you a coffee in the afternoon. You'd have probably still gone, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, maybe not. Because if he had said to me, I don't enjoy consuming alcohol and been upfront about that, I would say, well, it probably won't work out for us. Or somebody else that may work out. So I think it's important to think, it's never too early to cut ties. If you see something that's not going to work out, just be upfront with it. Or at the end of your first date, if you feel that there's no vibe, don't say, well, I'll call you, we'll see you again. Just say, you know, I don't think we have much in common, or I had a fun time. Just give some feedback.
Yeah.
And if you're too ashamed to say it to their face, just write them the next day and say, I had a fun time, but I don't think we should see each other again.
You can say that? You can actually say that nowadays?
I do.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think it works out quite well. Then they're not left wondering, is she ever going to call me again?
And there's ways you can do it fairly nicely, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think the worst one I ever had was, I was living in Ottawa, and I did a very brief spell of internet dating. This is before I was incredibly rich and famous, where I am now, so I wouldn't possibly need to do such a thing. eHarmony. No, I'm joking.
I was going to say, the rich and famous do online dating too.
Yeah, I know they do. Yeah. And can we just make very clear that I'm neither rich or famous as well, in case anyone actually took me seriously then. But yeah, I was in Ottawa, and I met a girl online, and she arrived. She texts me a lot to say that she was late, which is great. But it was always, I'll be there really soon. But you can't say that for an hour, and
no.
That's what she did.
No.
So I was just about to get up and leave. And she came in and she absolutely stank of smoke. Like, she must have had 80 cigarettes in a car, like, and then, I don't know.
Maybe she was nervous, Vinny.
I'm sure she was. Well, that's the other thing. She was, because her hair was everywhere and she didn't have any makeup on, which is fine. Perhaps slightly peculiar, but okay. There's nothing wrong with that. And she just looked as if, she looked disastrous, frankly. And she was actually shaking. And I said, you were right, because I thought she'd fallen over or something on the way in.
Did you meet her in the alleyway?
And she came and sat down and said, look, I'm sorry I'm late. I'm sorry that I look a mess. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I probably stink of smoke. And I was like, well, yeah, you do a bit. But she goes, I'm sorry. The fact of the matter is, have I never told you this?
No.
Oh, mate, you'll love this. she says, the fact of the matter is I wasn't going to come because my roommate wouldn't even let me leave. And I went, okay, that's definitely weird.
Yeah, red flag.
Why wouldn't she let you leave? She goes, because she doesn't think that I should be dating. Because after all, I've got a boyfriend. But I said it was all right as long as I tell you. So there you go. I've got a boyfriend. Brilliant. Cheers for that.
Yeah. Within that example, there's so many things that I have a list of advice that she's broken a lot of them.
Yes.
Yes.
Probably the golden rule. Try to be single if you're on a dating site.
Yes.
Unless it's that horrid one that encourages people to have affairs, of which, by the way, I won't mention it because I don't want to give them publicity. But how that owner sleeps at night, I don't know.
There's also maybe you'll be surprised to hear this, dating sites for people who do want to be in relationships with multiple people and other people that are okay with that.
Polygamypolygayou.com.
I don't know the address, but... But yes, that exists. There's something for everyone. There is something for everyone.
Let's get some more tips. So people have already combated loneliness, appreciated the wonder of their life, and now they're going to find a partner. But quick, cheeky little break first. Download the podcast at vinnywhite.co.uk every single week. I am with a delightful young lady. Her name's Julie Baker, and she's a dating expert. And I think there's a lot of mistakes that people are making out there, whether you find a date online or you manage to get away with doing it from the grocery store. So, young expert, help us, guide us. Give us a list of things to do or not do.
Okay, well, first off is have less fear. I think a lot of people go around afraid to ask people out. If they say no, they say no. And your ego will get over it. Won't take very long. Mm. And the more you ask people out, the less fearful it becomes. Mm. You know, if you're doing it the online way, my advice is not, you know, some people say write until you're comfortable? I say no. I say just write them, go out with them right away. Otherwise, you're investing all this time into someone you meet and you have no chemistry with. No wonder you get overwhelmed and bogged down with online dating.
Yeah.
Treat it as someone you met at the bar.
Hallelujah. Thank you for that, because that was my experience when I was internet dating. I'd find that a massive, long, sometimes week-long dialogue.
Yeah.
And all the way through, I'm going, should we just cut this out and do it over the drink that we're inevitably going to do?
Yeah.
Because the chances are, 5 seconds in, I know I don't want to be with you. And maybe vice versa. But
exactly.
Let's just do that.
Yeah.
Let's go check this chemistry, honey bunch. I wouldn't call them honey bunch. That would never work.
Well, it might for some. Mm. I would say, if you're not sure what to do, think about the things you want to do around Toronto. You're home, you're lonely. Make your list and say, okay, I'm going to ask these people. I don't know if I have any chemistry, but I'll have somebody to go do it with.
I've never been up the CN Tower.
Exactly.
Now could be my chance.
Yeah, why not?
I'll take a new lady. Yeah.
So provided that you've found a date and you're going to go on your date, there are some faux pas that people just don't seem to get over. Put the phone away. Put it away. You know, there's...
Well, when you're on the date.
Yes, when you're on the date.
That's a social faux pas that's got out of control.
Yeah.
And the other thing, since we're on the subject, can I give some advice to the ladies listening? I don't care about your cat. I don't care. And I didn't ask to see pictures. In the 70s, we had to put up with slide reels from people's holidays, and it made us want to kill ourselves. There was a few decades where we got away with it, and everything was great. Now, I have to sit through your phone and look at your life. I don't care.
Vinny, you have one of the lowest tolerances I know for looking at pictures, though. You look at three, and you're done.
Actually, you did it to me the other day, didn't
you? Yeah, I know. I was showing you pictures not of a cat, of a great trip that I was on.
I just walk off. I don't care.
That's okay. I know who you are.
Okay, go on. Some more.
So show up. But if you decide you're backing out, you're nervous, you don't want to show up, at least let the person know. Don't let them sit there.
Yeah.
And you know, if you need to make up a little white lie for that, that's whatever. Mm. But don't just let them sit there. Being stood up is not very fun.
Mm.
When you're there, that person should be the most important person. You should not flirt with the bartender.
A little bit?
No.
Let them know you're hot?
No.
Okay.
They know you're hot.
Oh yeah.
That's right. I mean, you can gamble, but
no, I agree.
But
with you.
I don't
flirt.
So.
Yeah,
gentlemen,
and also don't talk about your disastrous dates like we are now. Yeah, I don't want to hear it.
No.
Yeah. Go on, gentlemen.
Gentlemen, offer to pay.
Shut the front door. Kick her out.
No. No.
I'm not having this spread around on my radio station.
No, I'm going to tell you that if you want to know what the attitude of most of the females, not everyone, but most of them out there. Are hoping, are expecting that on that first date that gentleman's going to offer to pay and probably pay.
Yeah.
Now, I agree that the female should also offer to pay. It's a little bit of a game.
Mm.
But if I go on a date and the gentleman is not offering to pay, he's not getting a second date with me, and that's that.
And let me just advise the gentleman two things here. Actually, she's right, but why not make life easy for yourself? Don't take her for dinner on the first date.
Exactly.
If you don't like her, you're stuck with her, and you're probably stuck with a bill. Keep it cheap. Couple of pints. Bob's your uncle.
Yes, or just do an activity that doesn't cost any money.
Like what?
Go for a walk in the park.
Oh, I thought you were jumping straight to the naughty business.
True. And we could do that.
We're back to Tinder.
Yes.
Thank you for your tips. I'm afraid we've run out of time. Go forth, and if you're into that type of thing, multiply. But hopefully you took some advice. Thanks for coming in, Jilly.
You're welcome.
See you next time. It's been a two-hour show that went by the speed of, felt like about 4 minutes. I'm back next week. Always a pleasure. Never a chore. My name's Vinny. Ta-da. Bye.